our next speaker is Martin Mopoint. He's a visiting specialist in tourism and development at Plymouth Business School in Plymouth. And he's going to be talking about dirty pineapples from Costa Rica. He sort of warned me yesterday that this was going to be the unpleasant side of the pineapple world, but I think it's an important side.
Thank you. Sorry, yeah, it was worth giving a government health warning first. Thank you, Henry, for bringing the talks a little bit up to date. I was beginning to worry that I ought to place what I had to say into the 16th, 17th, and 18th century. In fact, it's very much contemporary. So, sorry, that was just a little tease. So I don't really mean. My taste for pineapples began to turn a bit sour when, in the mid-90s, I worked and spent quite a bit of time, paid a few visits to a village in southern Costa Rica. It was a village of refugee Salvadoran people who were fleeing the war, who had fled the war in the 1980s and early 90s in El Salvador. And it was a great little village. They were trying to develop ecotourism, whatever that may be, and develop their own style of agriculture. But they were surrounded, absolutely surrounded, by pineapple fields. Had one advantage, it offered them some employment. But it gave a hell of a lot of disadvantages. Just keep in mind, really, this is Costa Rica we're talking about, a country which has built a fantastic reputation for environmental friendliness, for ecotourism, whatever that may be, and it's the first country to have, or one of the first countries, I think maybe the first, to have actually imposed a carbon tax. It's pledged itself to go carbon neutral. First of all, it did. It pledged itself to go carbon neutral by 2017. When that didn't happen, it's now pledged itself a little bit more realistically. Not much, but a little bit more realistically, to go carbon neutral by 2030. And certainly it's implementing quite a lot of policies towards that goal. So that's the good side. Now, the village of Longo Mai, which I used to visit, was more or less the B of Buenos Aires on that map, not to be confused with Argentina, of course, but I know you wouldn't. The problems that were caused to that village, and not just that village, but to many people around it, I'm not going to dwell on this slide because I'm going to bring it back later. But I just wanted to show it to give you the idea that there's actually a hell of a lot of problems, very wide-ranging problems, caused by pineapple cultivation and pineapple monocultivation. Well, in January 2000, ENCA, which is the Environmental Network for Central America, I'm the editor and have been of the thrice yearly newsletter since about 1994, included an article entitled "Dirty Pineapples," we got most of our information for that from UNAPROA, an organisation called UNAPROA. This is one of the leaflets on the right-hand side. It's essentially the Union of Friends for the Protection of the Environment. And UNAPROA, along with quite a few other organisations, had formed a fighting front against Pindeco's pollution or contamination. Pindeco was, at that time, the company which was responsible for most of the cultivation of pineapples in Costa Rica. It's still called Pindeco, but in 2008 it was taken over by Del Monte. Back in 2000, Sainsbury's, our supermarkets, used to take 30,000 pineapples per week from Pindeco. I don't know how many they take now, but I suspect it's even more. Somehow, we don't know how, that article found its way onto the desk of the CEO of Sainsbury's. And as a result, he sent a copy of that article to Pindeco. and they asked for a response to the claims that were made in that article about all the pollution that was caused by the pineapple cultivation. Normally, Pindeco kept quiet in response to criticism, in response to environmentalists, government representatives, local inhabitants in Costa Rica. It simply did not respond at all. The idea was behind that, of course, not to give it what we now know as the oxygen of publicity. And pretty much the Costa Rican population were ignorant of what the problems were associated with pineapple production. So this was brought a very different example because it wasn't from within Costa Rica, it was from an outside source, from a foreign source. And Pindeco lashed out wildly against UNAPROA, started throwing all kinds of insults at them, claiming that they were asking for a boycott, claiming that UNAPROA was made up of communists and homosexuals, claiming all kinds of ridiculous things. And it got onto the news, the Costa Rican news, that is, front page headlines in the papers for a week, on the television news in Costa Rica for a week or over a week. And we thought, in Anchor, we thought, my God, oh, UNAPROA is going to get really mad at us because they're taking all the flak. In fact, UNAPROA was really, really pleased. It was the first time any of these items had ever been published in Costa Rica. And they were over the, as footballers say, over the moon about it. Very, very pleased with Anchor. So, anyway, what happened was that Sainsbury's sent a team of three over to Costa Rica, to Pindeco, to investigate what was going on in the Pindeco pineapple farms and to report back. They reported back various minor cosmetic changes were made by Pindeco. One of them was this kind of thing here. We put all around the pineapple fields, they put little notices like this saying, we protect the forest, let's avoid forest fires. Pindeco is committed to the environment. Obviously a pack of lies, but it went all around the pineapple fields. They even got ISO certification for the methods of production, which should make us worry a great deal about the standards which are being promoted by the ISO organizer, the International Standards Organization. But that's a different presentation for a different seminar or a different conference some other time. But certainly it should be a cause of concern for us. These practices, this kind of thing, the spraying and aerial spraying did not change. That went on as before with carcinogenic, toxic pesticides, which with the slightest wind would blow off from the pineapple fields onto local schools, local people, local villages, local water courses, from which, in many instances, people drew their water needs. Del Monte, anyway, just changed tack a little bit. Del Monte then took over Costa Rica, took over Pindeco in 2008, but Pindeco retained the name, so we still talk about Pindeco, even though it's wholly owned by Del Monte now. And after that, despite kind of efforts to make some changes in around 2000, 2001, 2002, that's when Costa Rica started getting what some local journalists refer to as pineapple fever. Costa Rica, by far and away the biggest global exporter of pineapples by value, not quite 50% of the global market in pineapple exports. And of course the European countries, I was going to say four European countries there, but there's three European countries there and the UK. You can see the importance of Costa Rican pineapples to those four major European countries and the proportions that they take. And this is where pineapple fever started hitting with the increase, a massive increase in pineapple production in Costa Rica, which had previously, before 2000, been localized around that southern area of Costa Rica. Now it's spread across Costa Rica to the north and the northeast particularly. And still, but now we're talking the next few headlines coming from 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010. After the first shoot of pineapple fever, 6,000 people drinking contaminated water in Siquiris. Pineapple fields contaminate the water table. And since around 2000, possibly before, the government has had to advise people in and around the town of Siquiris, actually more like five towns have been involved in this, not to drink the mains water. They cannot do that because it comes from the water table, and the water table is so contaminated that they should not be using mains water. We've got them to the ridiculous situation where they're having to tanker in water for the local people in this area at something like $27,000 a day. And still we get more headlines. Pineapple monocultivation causes environmental and social disaster. Well, the social disaster there refers to the labour practices on the pineapple plantations as well, which I've hardly mentioned up to the moment. Anyway, don't take my word for it. Let me see if I can just get this little video to play, I hope.
Up to 25% of bananas and 75% of pineapples imported into Europe come from Costa Rica, the ecotourism capital of Central America. Costa Rica has exported bananas for more than a century, although more land is being converted to pineapple production as this industry rapidly expands. This volume of banana and pineapple exports can only be achieved through industrial-scale agriculture. This depends on some of the highest uses of agrochemicals in the world. These chemicals are applied by hand and by machine, mechanical booms in the case of pineapples, and by plane in the banana industry.
Las poblaciones alrededor de las plantaciones tienen exposiciones muy altas. Analizamos polvo de unas escuelas y unas casas alrededor de una finca bananera. Y el polvo lo sacamos de los pupitres de la escuela y en las casas aspiramos polvo de colchones donde duermen los niños. En algunas muestras encontramos hasta 8 plaguicidas.
Quisiera expresar mi preocupación sobre el asunto de las piñeras, la contaminación que está trayendo la deforestación en este pueblo, en Yanaca, y en muchos pueblos en este país. Aquí se prueban agroquímicos todos los días, en la noche y en la tarde. Si miramos en este momento, regando los lunes, se ve que el vapor que esto, ellos van regando por encima y el vapor, el viento se lo lleva hacia las comunidades cercanas. Ahorita no vemos externamente los daños que se puede estar produciendo en estar respirando un ambiente donde el aire barre mucho los químicos por no tener área de amortiguamiento. Me preocupo porque mis hijos cuando estén grandes, esto ya puede llegar a producir abortos o algún defecto de los hijos de mis hijos. Y además de que contamina las aguas, contamina el ambiente.
con esa cantidad de plaguicidas que se utilicen, no hay un futuro brillante. Es muy preocupante, sumamente preocupante. Y los niños que nacen ahora están expuestos desde que antes de que nacen. En el IDEC han hecho análisis de residuos en aguas subterráneas en zonas de piña y han encontrado una herbicida en muchas muestras, incluso en zonas donde la piña solamente tiene unos cuantos años de haberse establecido. Es muy preocupante, o sea, las aguas subterráneas es el reservorio de agua potable para el mundo.
Todo video estaba cayendo en la casa. Realmente está en la cocina, donde uno come cerca de las plantaciones de esquil y tomate y papaya, y de dulce y el aguacate. Y otra cosa que le cae en la vista y le abre los ojos. Están fumigando encima de las carreteras y de los caños. Todas estas aguas de los caños van al río y matan los pescados.
Yo no veo el futuro en una forma muy optimista. O sea, los efectos se van a ver. Ya lo estamos viendo de exposiciones anteriores. Ahorita vamos a ver los efectos de las exposiciones que tienen hoy día.
fruitfair.co.uk website and also the Banana Link website. Well, let me just get out of that for a minute. Anyway, in June 2006, the Rainforest Alliance came out with some new standards for pineapple production. They're all fairly anodyne and not going to achieve a great deal, as you can see. Those are only a few of them. But it was a start to trying to control what the pineapple producers were doing. We'll just have a quick look to see whether those guidelines have made any kind of difference to the way in which the pineapple companies are behaving now. A very highly respected Costa Rican conservation organization called FECON believes, and this is just last month, came out with a new report suggesting that the pineapple monocultivation is still responsible for polluting the water sources, still ignores all the relevant legislation for labour and environmental practices. Costa Rica is quite well advanced in its paper legislation. It's got a lot of the stuff that we would have on its statute book, but it including labour conditions. But the government actively supports the companies in their efforts to de-unionise and to prevent people joining unions. Less than 2% of the Costa Rican workforce is actually a member of a trade union. And they're also responsible for deforestation in protected areas. Now, this up here, the grey areas there are wetlands. There's not a huge amount of overlap between the pineapple cultivation shown in red, but there is some, and it's enough to for it to measure in the thousands of hectares. And these are protected areas as well. So it's against Costa Rican law for any of this production to take place in those protected areas, but it does. These are three of the protected areas which are affected. This is a more detailed map. This is all protected area here. And the blue is also a protected wetlands area. as you can see again, not a huge amount of overlap, but there's enough for it to count up to several thousand hectares and to have caused a considerable amount of deforestation. Fecon claims, I think absolutely correctly, that the government looks the other way when it knows full well that this kind of thing is happening not only in its protected areas but in wetlands which are not protected areas, by not protected by Costa Rican legislation but are protected by international legislation. So this is the government looking the other way, just as proof. That's it. Just in case anybody thought that one. The other thing that Fecon points out in its report last month is that the government has now, the current Costa Rican government, has actually cut the budget of the area CNEP, the organisation CNEP, which is supposed to look after the national conservation areas. Nearly there. Let's just quickly return to where we started off in the south of Costa Rica, and we come back to a little bit of hope here. This is a world famous wetland area, Terra de Sierpe, in southern Costa Rica, where Pindeco had applied for permission to grow more pineapples. In 2016, CETENA, which is a government organisation, actually gave them authorisation to do so. CETENA is the Costa Rican organisation which carries out EIAs, environmental impact analyses, and then reports back to the government saying, yes, accept that one or don't accept that one, that mega development or whatever. So CETENA should have said, absolutely, no way you can authorise pineapple cultivation here. But they went ahead and authorised it. It was stopped by the courts. And then, fortunately, just 2 months ago, because of the stink caused by local inhabitants, when I say the stink, I mean the protests, Costa Rican environmentalists, and even by government, some government people, the decision was revoked. So there's a tiny bit of hope there. There's some. It's good to be able to end on a good note. But I'll leave you with that to end, so as to disappoint you and leave you on a really low note. It is my role in life to spread misery, depression and negativity around, so I'll leave you with that list. And look, I've hardly talked about some of those. All I've talked about really is the pollution of air, soil and water. Mentioned briefly the labour practices. I didn't talk about, I haven't had time to talk about the land availability problem and the way in which Pindeco bought up land with aggressive tactics. I'm going to leave it at that. Right.